It's the KGEZ Good Morning Show with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks. Joining us, our governor, Greg Gianforte. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Hey, John and Robin, it's good to be with you.
Thank you.
I'm hoping you can help us understand a little bit. Appears to be a bit of a disagreement between you and the county regarding our tax assessments and what it should be. So could you help me understand from your perspective what this is all about?
Sure. Everybody refers to it as the 95 mills, and it's really pretty simple. This was something that was court-ordered over two decades ago, that a portion of property taxes would be collected by the state and then completely remitted, sent back to local school districts. And the desire, what the court said was this money has to be collected at the 95 mills and sent back to the districts to equalize access to education across the state so that areas of the state that have lower property values, the kids in those districts are not disadvantaged. That was the purpose of it. This 95 mills has been assessed at that rate for over two decades. The state we do not believe we have clear authority to change it. And the code says very clearly the state establishes it, which we did, and reducing this mill arbitrarily by at the local county level honestly would jeopardize funding for our public schools. I think every kid has to have access to a good education, and we're doing what the law says. So we've asked the court. The county think they're interpreting the law differently. Fine, let's have a court tell us what the law says. We think we're right. They think they're right. Property taxes are too high. They should be lower. But there's other ways to do it other than defunding our public schools.
Well, now, this is a train that's been coming down the track for a while now as far as property taxes. And this time around, the legislature really wasn't able to tackle the long range. But I know that meetings are taking place offline. Where do you see this going, Greg?
Well, we do need long-term reforms. We've got to reform our system to bring better transparency and accountability. And we made good progress during this last legislative session. And in particular, we put $120 million, far in excess of what this dispute over the 17 mills is, because it's not about the 95. It's like, should it be 77 or should it be 95? $120 million went into permanent property tax relief. In addition, as everybody knows, we sent $675 this year to every Montana homeowner. There's going to be another $675 next year. That is like four or five times more than the 17 mills. So we're keeping Montana homeowners whole during this period, but we're going to have to come back in 2025 and look at some of these more permanent long-term fixes to property taxes because they're just too high. And folks should understand that local property taxes don't go to the state. In this case, we're getting them and giving them back. All the other ones, that's how you play for local law enforcement, your schools, county government. And in many districts across the state, not all, but some, local spending has far exceeded inflation and population growth. The state's been very fiscally responsible in not growing the size of government. But if we don't rein in property taxes, some people may be forced out of their homes, and we need to get property taxes down.
Okay, now, this tax that goes back to the counties for the schools, is that a percentage or is that a fixed amount?
It's the, well, Robin, it's complicated.
Everything
but
is.
I'll do my best.
Okay. All right.
Schools are funded in a formulaic way. So more kids, more funding. But there is this equalization fund, which is what this 95 mills is. And basically the court said, if you have a rural community that doesn't have a lot of industrial property but has a lot of kids, they're disadvantaged when compared with a place like Big Sky that has a lot of secondary homes. They collect a lot of property taxes, but there aren't as many permanent residents up there. So what this 95 mils does is it takes money from communities that have more homes, less kids, and sends it to communities that have less homes, more kids, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the other portion of this, lowering, even if we had the statutory authority to lower the 95 bills, which we don't believe we have clear authority to do, it would give a big tax break to large industrial corporations like the refineries, the mines, Northwestern Energy. It's just a windfall for them, and it puts a higher burden on Montana families, and I just don't think that's the right thing to do. So even if we had the authority, we don't think it's good policy. There are better ways to reform property tax to make sure people can stay in their homes and we don't see the number keep going up.
Okay, that's about the best explanation I've heard.
Now, we understand that there's a lawsuit against Missoula over this. Is this going to be a test case, or will this be a way of getting a final decision on this?
Well, we need to do the same thing statewide. We can't have one county saying, no, I'm not going to pay 95. I'll pick 77, and somebody else pays 95. And so it's a little bit of a free-for-all. So we don't want an antagonistic situation with the counties, but we do need to fund our public schools. So we've asked the court. Missoula was the first one to go on record with the state saying, we're not going to do what you told us to do. So we said, okay, let's just have the court look at it and tell us, should it be 77 or should it be 95?
We're getting pretty close to half of the counties in the state now are going with a 77.9 mils.
And if the court says it's 95, they'll have to send out another bill.
Okay, Greg.
All right. You know, there's one that's always scratched my head is the business equipment tax. I know you've made some changes and gotten that down a little bit, but first of all, where did this thing come from and why do we need it?
Okay, here's your little history lesson for the morning. Going back many decades, back when Montana was just getting started, the legislators said, who can we tax and pay for stuff? Well, they said that the only industrial interests way back were large out-of-state mines, exploration companies, out-of-state timber companies. They said, let's go tax all their equipment. And it's an annual sales tax on their balance sheet. Well, that got brought forward, and now we have businesses in Montana. They got caught up in the net. So now every construction company pays an annual sales tax on their loaders and their trucks. And every farmer pays an annual sales tax on their combine and their tractor. Every restaurant pays an annual sales tax on their silverware, tables and chairs in their kitchen equipment. So we've made this, and this is a huge disincentive for investing in their business because it you have to keep paying. So this business equipment tax, when I came into office, the exemption, that is the portion of business equipment that you did not have to pay the tax on, was $100,000 per year. In my first session, 2021, we bumped it to $300,000 exemption. And in this last session, working with the legislature, we bumped it to $1 million for every small business. And that sounds like a lot of money, but when a combine costs $750,000, you got two combines, you're still paying it. So in doing this, from $100,000 to $1 million exemption, we've taken 5,000 small businesses off the business equipment tax rolls in Montana. I think we should do more, and I'm hopeful if we can work with the legislature in another session, we can bump it up again.
All right, enough about taxes. let's talk, well, first of all, let's talk ammunition machinery manufacturing.
I was so pleased to be down in Stevensville here recently for the grand opening of Alpha Loading Systems. This company makes equipment that loads ammunition, and they ship this equipment all over the world. They just shipped one to the Ukraine. I saw one in production that was doing final QA. It's going off to Thailand. 30% of their equipment leaves the United States. And the neat thing about this is a Montana-owned company. They're investing. They have 45 employees there in Stevensville. They just moved into brand new space. And anytime a Montana business is prospering, I like to go and celebrate with them. This is particularly good because not only are they an advanced manufacturing firm making high-quality equipment, they're also supporting our Second Amendment. And Montana has, because of our pro-business policies and our pro-Second Amendment policies, just upholding what our Constitution says, we have more firearms and ammunition manufacturers per capita than any other state in the country. And my prediction is, and I saw this at the SHOT Show last year, I think more of these companies are going to be moving to Montana, creating jobs here, and defending our Second Amendment.
All right, so we got that going. And one more quick thing. I know this is certainly in your world, and that's hunting season opening up. Talk with us about your plans.
Well, I always like getting out in the field, but you can hunt big game in Montana 11 out of 12 months, so it's sort of like always hunting season if you're willing to switch species. I like to hunt whitetails. I usually take an elk every year if I'm fortunate enough to cross paths with one. I do a little upland bird hunting, but it's never hard to find a reason to get out in the woods. But for me, it's mostly about just taking my rifle for a walk.
Okay. And what about the pheasants and what about the waterfowls?
Well, this was a real victory for us. I was at a Pompey's Pillar here recently, just before youth hunting weekend. And we released in the beginning of late September, early October, the state of Montana released 12,000 pheasants across the state to be available for hunters. Because it's, although I don't care if I harvest something or not, a lot of people, they go in the field looking for a bird, you don't see a bird, it's kind of discouraging. So we partnered with the Department of Corrections. We raised these birds in Deer Lodge. The inmates there did it. And in partnership with FWP, we've released 12,000 birds across the state, so we have access. And the other thing we're doing is, this is our second year of our youth hunting story contest. If you have a young person in your home or grandson, granddaughter, age 10 to 17, and they harvest something this fall, it doesn't have to be a big trophy. They could just shoot a gopher, a duck, buck, bull, whatever. Take a picture, go to youthhunting.mt.gov. We've gotten a whole bunch of outdoor sporting goods equipment manufacturers to donate some incredible kit. It's hard to pick the winners, but we pick 10, and then we have them all to the state capitol with their families. We have a wild game feed, and we give them backpacks and outerwear and some taxidermy services and a whole bunch of things. And it's really a great way to encourage young people to, embrace this hunting heritage that we have here in Montana.
All right, Greg. As always, we appreciate the opportunity to talk with you when anything big pops up. And boy, this tax thing is big. Thanks so much for spending time with us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you both.
All right. Take care.